Now in year number 6, it's a Yank on the Footy with Craig Wessels. Everybody sit back and enjoy a chat about the greatest game on the face of the earth. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I do hope you'll share it with your friends and family. Cheers! Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 319 of A Yank on the Footy. I'm Craig Wessels, coming to you from Sandusky, Ohio, and I'm thrilled that you're listening. Got a little bit of springtime here this week. One more day of school, and then we're on spring break for the next 8 days, 9 days. We also have an extra day off because of the total solar eclipse that's going to be happening here. It's rolling right through our town on Monday of the following week. So I'm going to be sitting down with Mick Aussie here in just a moment to preview round 3. And before we do that, I do hope you'll head over to my website at yankonthefooty.com and you'll sign up on the mailing list. If you enjoy the podcast, I hope you'll consider leaving a 5-star review either on Apple Podcasts or on my website. If you want to help out the podcast, you can certainly do that that way. Click on that Buy Me a Coffee button. I do hope you'll also share it with your friends and family. Now, today's club of the episode, and I'd love to call your club as well, so let me know about them, are the Sail City Bulldogs Football and Netball Club of the North Gippsland Football League. And they were formed back in 1970, and in their 50-plus years, they've captured 7 senior premierships, including back-to-back in 2016 and 17. Now, the Bulldogs are going to be opening up their 2024 fixture against Kawar. And I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly there. It's double W's and double R's on 13 April. And as part of their social calendar, the club's going to be holding their player auction during that first round matchup as well. And while this podcast doesn't generally delve too deeply into netball, although it is going to also come up in episode 320, which was recorded yesterday, I did enjoy a story that the club shared on their Facebook page, which I will link to in the show notes. Their under 15 netballers had a scrimmage last week against their parents. And they reported that the girls did take home the win. And according to the reports, no parents were injured during the scrimmage. So that's always good to hear. And I just really thought that was neat that they went ahead about doing it that way. So I do want to wish the Bulldogs the absolute best of luck in 2024. And let's jump into my chat with Mick Aussie right now, folks. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled to be joined again by my mate Mick Aussie in this extraordinarily news-rich Wednesday afternoon here in North America. How are you doing, Mick?
Yeah, good, mate. And obviously a big story in the Australian newspapers and radio about the drug testing / non-drug testing / bit of a scam with what's going on.
You know, I'm seeing things where people are saying, you know, that and I don't know how far back this necessarily goes, but I'm seeing people posting that, you know, that the AFL owes Essendon an apology, you know, from everything that I'm reading here, it looks as though the league had kind of been turning a blind eye to prospective positive drug tests and basically telling players to, you know, hey, if you think you might test positive, let us know and we'll maybe test you somewhere else where it's not official. And we'll just pretend, you know, you've got a hangnail or, you've got a groin issue or, you know, you've got a mild case of glandular fever or whatever the hell it is that you've got, but you'll be out a week or two.
Yeah, look, I've been listening to a lot today. I've had my thoughts for years on this. Mm-hmm. It is. It's a scam. It's bullshit. But I'll stick up for the AFL on the one thing and then I'll go hard at them. The one thing they don't want is a SADA, WADA, whatever it's called now, the Sports Integrity Australia. You don't really want them involved unless you have to, because they'll overkill. They'll suspend someone for 4 years for, you know, cocaine or whatever, which is a total overkill. Now, that said, I'm disgusted for years that people have gone out and said they got mental illness, and basically today has proven what I've been saying for years. People are going out on mental illness because I've tested positive for cocaine or whatever else. Cocaine's the main one because you don't want footballers on ice and all that. So they're taking cocaine. It's out of your system in a few days. If they think they've screwed up and they might get tested on game day, because if you get tested on game day and prove positive, then you're in big trouble, 2 to 4 years, like when WADA gets involved. Now, if you've done it and the doctor tests you and you prove positive, you fake it. You say you got hamstring, mental illness, all that, which is absolute crap. And I'm with the public on this. It's bullshit. It's a cover-up and fans feel scammed. And Malcolm Blight said it, and I've had a feeling for quite a while. I'm not going to mention the name. But Malcolm Blight said it. He didn't mention names, that for many years, high-profile players have been going off with mental illness and so forth. Greg Blewett, the former Australian cricketer, said on Sports Day, he says, they are taking the mickey out of us. And Andrew Jarman agreed, basically saying the AFL is taking the mickey out of us. There you go.
And I'm just going to say right now, and this will probably be all that I say about it, if an athlete has, you know, gone out and used cocaine or used an illicit drug that was going to test positive and possibly warrant them having, you know, a suspension as a result of that, and then they feign a mental illness and it's simply because they went out and used drugs, how fucking dare you? And how are you going to look in the mirror at yourself? Because you have people who do deal with mental illness.
Yep.
And how
yep.
dare you trivialize what they are dealing with by that bullshit right there? And how fucking dare you do that?
Yep. It's true, mate. I've said it for years. It's
God,
bullshit.
Damn it, that
it's making a ridicule. Like you said, it's making a mockery of the people that have mental illness, and it is a serious problem.
It absolutely
is. It's like these guys that go and claim CTE. Yeah, well, you know what? If you do cocaine and fight and drugs and stress, it all amounts to the same thing, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know enough about CTE. I mean, that, you know, I don't know if, you know, if, you know, we've seen players who played the game back in the 50s and 60s who had, you know, who after their passing had been found to have had CTE that, you know, I don't know if they, I can't certainly speculate whether or not any of those people had been involved in those kinds of things, but I'm just, and you have to wonder, is this happening in sport here in North America? And I would be shocked. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if, you know, I know you and I talked a couple of years ago. We joked about Ontario Smith and the Wizinator. The guy, remember the guy that took the fake penis with the urine, you know, into the drug test and got caught. I don't know if the thing fell out and fell under the toilet or whatever. That would have been hilarious, but
I just need to correct myself a little bit.
Okay.
Players are blaming CTE for all their problems when it could be cocaine, stress, alcohol, the whole lot. That's what annoys me.
Yeah.
They're blaming it all on concussions, which is crap. It's to me a combination of all four in certain cases. And yes, cocaine under the AFL rule is considered a performance enhancer if taken on game day.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell you from people I've talked to and I've known and seen, people do use cocaine to improve doing a business deal in a sales conference or in sports. So it is a performance enhancer. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Apparently it is.
Well, I mean, I've been reading a couple of articles that were on Code Sports today, and it sounds like the former team doctor from one of the clubs rang the alarm bell and got in touch with a member of the federal parliament. And this member of the federal parliament, what is his name? Andrew Wilkie. And I don't know where he's from, but MP means member of parliament. Does it not?
Yep. That's dead right. The doctor was from the Demons and his name was Dr.
Zeeshan
Arani or whatever. And that's when Glenn Bartlett, the chairman of Demons, he's suing people. He's taking the Demons to federal court because him and this doctor basically whistleblowed and told the other people at the Demons a while ago that this shit was going on. So big story, mate. Big story.
Yeah.
But back real quick, you said about the Bombers. I'm still on the AFL side that because the Bombers players were injecting stuff.
As
soon as you start injecting stuff, to me, that's not good. But anyway, we won't go there.
And again, like I said, that's a little bit before I started following the game. But, you know, it is just, I don't know. I And I guess I'm going to mention, I'm going to plug my, you know, my own tweet on here because I thought it was pretty damn funny, but evidently nobody else did. But I'm going to go ahead and share it here anyway. But, you know, David Zita posted the long, you know, response from the AFL. And I said something about the fact that, you know, the AFL had announced that they were not going to be reporting, you know, players' weights anymore. And we were all assuming they meant kilograms, and evidently they must have been talking about some sort of other smaller weight. You know, are they getting into the grams instead of the kilograms at this point in time? And evidently it wasn't as goddamn funny as I thought.
Yeah, fuck. Crazy, man. Crazy.
So, you ready to jump into discussing the games with the players that are hopefully going to play this week? And
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Yeah, so got 8 games. You know, you've got the GWS has got the week off this week, and it's escaping me who the other club is that's got the week off this week. I'm thinking it's Gold Coast, actually, now that I'm looking at the list. I think Gold Coast
yes,
is
it is.
Also.
Yes, yep, you're right there.
But you know, we've got the Ofer match happening tomorrow morning, because one of these clubs, you know, is going to get their first win of the season unless it's a draw. But the other one's either going to go 0-3 or 0-4 in our grand final rematch. And I don't think anybody would have predicted. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think, you know, because I know you do some stuff with, you know, following odds and that sort of thing. Do you think there's somebody out there that actually placed a wager at the beginning of the season that this game would start out with Brisbane being 0-2 and Collingwood being 0-3 for just a small amount of money and hoping to get a huge payout?
Yeah, I haven't seen odds like that, but you certainly can bet on so much different stuff.
My goodness.
I haven't seen that one, no.
Yeah, I listened to Chris Pepper's episode yesterday from Lace Out, where he basically went over the statistics that back up the Pies' struggles, and he did a great breakdown of it over on his podcast. But, you know, side bottoms being managed, Markoff and his mustache are being managed. Dude is not back yet this week. Lockie Neal's back with his hamstring injury. They're playing at the Gabba. What are you thinking on this one?
Well, first of all, I think side bottom being managed, that's an excuse. Why don't they just say these days that you're dropped and out of form? He's 35. He can handle it. He's not a 20-year-old anyway. And today the news broke that Dude hurt his knee again in the last couple of minutes of training, and he might have been a chance to play this week. It's not a full screw-up with his ACL, but they reckon he's out for another 7 or 8 weeks.
Oh, I did Lions not hear, I did not hear that.
Yeah, no, it came out today on Triple M. Billion JB was saying that.
Okay.
Yeah. Lions are favoured by 16.5. Lockie Neal back. I'll take the Lions to win, but I think the Magpies might get close. So take the Magpies to cover that 16.5. I think at the Gabba, I think the Lions will win it, and the Magpies will be squealing and squirming and trying to peck everyone's head because they're 0-4.
I'm going with the Lions on this one as well. Had this game been played at the MCG, I might have gone with the Pies on it. And I did hear on Ricky Nixon's podcast, The Chicken Coop. He has a guest on every week that they call the secret agent, and he's basically saying that he was reporting that he believes that the Pies are going to be making a big run at Matthew Taberner at the end of this year. Because they need another key forward. I mean, you know, Brody Mychek is a fine player. I would love to have him on my team, but he can't be your only tall option down there. And he right now he pretty much is.
Yeah, I don't know that Tavernard's the player to go for, but hey, Ricky Nixon, that secret agent, they might want to improve the audio because I can hardly understand you.
Well, I love the information. You know, I'm not going to disagree with you on that. I am definitely not going to disagree with you on that one. Yeah. So we head to Marvel for the first of 3 games at Marvel. So this week, this week Docklands is getting a workout. North is hosting Carlton. North has done some good things this year, but they're still really young and they're really green. You know, Carlton, I believe, is getting Jacob Wiedering back, if I'm not mistaken, this round. I think I saw his face pop up there. So I'm going with Carlton to win this one by a couple of goals, but I think that North Melbourne is going to make it one heck of a battle, because I think this club is going to play tough against everybody all year. They just may not have enough firepower to get as many wins as they would like to get.
Yeah, well, interesting. Talking about the drugs like we did before, Elijah Holland is back from an AFL imposed suspension. Now, I'm pretty sure he was the recruit from, I think, the Gold Coast. And I think he was in trouble legally with the police over drugs. I'm pretty sure of that. And like they said, the only reason the AFL have to report a drug positive is when the police and the law get involved, like Ginnivan and I believe Elijah Holmes. Aren't I correct on that? I might be wrong. I'm pretty sure I'm right on that.
Well, I don't. We certainly do not hear. I've never heard of a drug test result from anybody else in any other circumstance. It's always been where they've been caught in public having done something like that. I've never heard of
AFL
report coming out. Bobby Smith, peed in the cup and the cup melted this weekend. So
No, you're right. I'm wrong. Yes, he got caught with it, or the police were involved, not the test. My fault.
No, that's fine. Yes. I just don't recall ever having heard that being discussed. Yeah. So yeah, I think Carlton's going to win this, and I think they're a very, very quality side, and bringing Wiedering back in is only going to make them better. So I think North, they're going to be competitive, but it's going to make it even more difficult for, Nick Larkey to have his, three or four goals during the course of the game. So.
Yeah, well, Blues are favored by 33.5. I'll take them to cover that.
Okay. And then we head out to Optus with Fremantle hosting your Adelaide Crows. And both of us got the Crows wrong last week. We both, I'm glad I got mine wrong. You're not, because, I being a Cat supporter, I tipped the Crows to win at home, and I'm happy to be wrong on that one. You got the Pies wrong, I got the Suns wrong, so we both went 6-2 last week, so not too shabby. The Dockers have proven some people wrong this year.
Yeah, absolutely. You said my Adelaide Crows. Well, all my teams suck right now, and the Crows. I was on your mate show last night, Donnie Hess, and I went right off on the Crows.
Uh-huh.
Not happy with their 8 leadership group. I said that 3 or 4 of them are lucky to even be in the top 22. Darcy Fogarty, what's he played? 1 good game out of 60 or whatever. He was terrible, missing that goal. And then when the marks were there to be taken near the end, he didn't friggin' well mark him. He's got to smarten up. I'd drop him. I honestly would not have Darcy Fogarty in that team, especially with the big field of options. Give Tex Walker more room.
Yeah.
Dockers are favored by 12.5. I'll take Dockers to win, Crows to cover. Let's hope the Crows can smarten up and react from the terrible game and your great game by your team, the Cats. And people are not even saying this. The Cats had 3 out. 2 of them pulled out just before the game, I believe, including Duncan. So Cats controlled that game.
Well,
they absolutely controlled it with skill and class, and the Crows just bombed it in. And if Ned McHenry's not starting in the 18, Nix is an absolute clown.
Well, I do find it somewhat laughable that you mentioned that Duncan pulled out and the reason that he did not play the game. His wife gave birth to a child, so.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's all right. So, no, I didn't criticize him.
No. I'm just saying. I'm not sure if he actually did what you said he did there.
9 months ago, he sure didn't.
I'm going with the Dockers as well. I mean, they've been, Caleb Sarong, 81 disposals through the first 2 games. 81 disposals.
Yeah.
And that's what, a pretty decent midfield. The Crows, they need this win. Now, let me ask you this. You mentioned Fogarty. Is he getting a game if Riley Thilthorpe hadn't gotten hurt?
They probably wouldn't play all three, or they might. You're right. I'd drop him, mate. He doesn't have that. Like, when the ball's there to be taken by the scruff of the neck, just grab it, and he didn't. He frustrates me so much. And he's in the freaking leadership group. How can you have a guy like him? And Murphy's played 100 games. I wouldn't even have him in the team. There's a couple others as well in the freaking leadership group. Well, Nix has lost the plot, having not his best players in the leadership group. I'm so annoyed at that. And Andrew Jarman is as well.
Well, you know, you said there are eight people in part of their as part of their leadership group.
Yes, I've got the names here if you want me to read them out.
No, I'm just thinking I did not realize that the AFL had converted to participation trophies.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean that's amazing.
It's bullshit, mate. Get back to captain, vice captain. That's it, if you ask me. Maybe deputy vice. Have three.
Maybe you have a captain and two vices. You know, one for your
that's all right.
You know, one in the midfield, one in your forward structure, and one in the back structure. Maybe you do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we head back to Marvel again. You got Essendon hosting St. Kilda. This is an intriguing game, but no Max King because he got scratched out and rubbed out for one game because of his bump. Peter Wright's going to be out for the next four games as well. Which one of those two do you think is the bigger loss for their club?
Oh, probably King. He's more consistent, isn't he?
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Look. Yeah, Peter Wright, with the modern rules, he deserved to get suspended. Mm-hmm. They're talking number 10 pick for the Bombers, their first overall, Nate Caddy. They reckon he might be a chance. They're talking good things about that fella. Saints are favored by 8.5. I think they'll get it done and probably by more than that.
Now, this is the first one where we're differing because I'm going with Essendon on this one.
Really?
I am. They have, you know, they've played a couple of pretty solid games. They, you know, they got beat by quite a few goals against Sydney, but they, you know, they hung 110 points on the board. And I'm thinking, you know, if Max King is not there, that really hamstrings the Saints' ability to score goals. It really lessens that the impact that he has on them. So, you know, if somebody steps up, then the Saints are probably going to win it. But if they scuffle to replace him, I think Essendon could steal this one.
Well, if Darcy Parrish is back, and that's a chance, he would be a big in. He's a very good player, that
right,
fella.
Right. So we head off then to the Adelaide Oval for the club who evidently right now does not seem to have the coaching crisis in Adelaide. In Port Adelaide, hosting the Melbourne Demons, and it sounds like Clayton Oliver is this. I hope this is just really bad timing because Oliver was, I guess, scratched today for a hand injury when all of this other stuff broke. But it sure seems like Melbourne is in disarray right now. And you know, as far as the club culture and that sort of thing, I don't have any insight into it at all, but. I think Port Adelaide's going to beat them by at least three goals this week. If this was in Melbourne, maybe the D's put it together, but maybe they're actually better off being away from home and being away from maybe the distractions. Although I'm sure the Port Adelaide supporters will be very kind to them and not bring up anything.
Good call. You finally went more than two or three goals. Yeah. Power of favor by 13.5. But you said 18. I'm with you. I'll take them to win and cover that. Horn Francis is out for the second week with a hamstring. I actually believe it. I don't believe that's a cover-up with cocaine, so I'll totally back Horn Francis on that one.
Yeah.
May, my favorite, least favorite player in the AFL, Stephen May, out for definitely this week with hitting the ribs.
Right.
Was it during the game or was it? At the restaurant? Who knows now? Is that during the game?
Yeah, it happened during the game. And it really put a dent in my fantasy team this week because my other defender that I had to play is still out injured. So I actually had to drop Jordan Ridley to pick up one of the healthy defenders from Hawthorn for this weekend. So, yeah, I mean, and they're going up against the Cats. So I probably won't score a lot of points, but it'll be better than what I would have had otherwise. So. Yeah, like I said, I'm going Port on this one. I just think that that they're, you know, they're a better side right now, even without Horn Francis in the lineup. We head off to Marvel then for the Bulldogs hosting the Eagles. And, you know, I think the Eagles can go ahead and, you know, click on that, you know, place order button on Amazon for that kitchen utensil holder that they have had in their cart. Because, you know, they're going to need it to fill that, you know, put that other wooden spoon in there. Because I think that's almost a deadlock certainty right now.
Oh, terrible, aren't they, eh? Anyway, they big Jack Darling struggling, but he'll probably stay in the team. Dogs are favoured by 47.5 at home. Yeah, I'll probably take him. What about they kick 9 goals to nothing in the first, 9 goals in the first quarter against the Suns?
Yeah.
Waitman kicked 6, and at least he kept his underwear all tight and didn't let it hang out.
Yes, he did.
Rory Lobb kicked 4 in the VFL, but I'd keep him out. You can't have too many big men. Alex Keith's still in the VFL. I heard he was going down a bit last year. So Dogs should win that and win that well, eh?
Now, if you were Adam Simpson, you know, and I know they've got a lot of injuries, but would you just go ahead and bite the bullet and start playing the youngsters to find out who you've got? I mean, he's had to do that a little bit the last couple of years, but, you know, they have to be looking ahead to, I don't even know if they're looking to 2025. I think they might be looking ahead to 2026, quite frankly.
Oh, they're in big trouble. Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, I've got the Bulldogs winning this one by probably 4 goals as well. You know, it's just, and it's probably going to be more than that. You know, the way that the Bulldogs just beat up on Gold Coast in that first quarter. I mean, they just blitzed them in that first quarter and then kind of coasted home the rest of the way.
Come on, say what you really think. They're going to win by 8 goals, 10 goals. Come on, you can say it.
Yeah, okay. Let's make it 11. let's make it 11 then, okay? So we head to the MCG the day before, on Easter Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, for Richmond hosting Sydney. And Sydney's playing lights out footy right now. What are you thinking on this one?
Just real quick, the Eagles, yeah, you don't want to play too many youngsters because then you still need some experienced players in amongst to help them, absolutely. Swans are favoured by 19.5. Yeah, probably be about that. I watched the full game of the Port Adelaide Power Paps and the Tigers. Tigers sure did got up to a great first half.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan, the photographer, Broad might be back with a calf injury. And I just think the Swans are going on so nicely, but you never know. They might have a slight mental letdown. So take them to win. Not sure on the 19. Probably cover that.
Well, this is again where we differ here because, you know, the Tigers, you know, I'm going with Richmond in this one because this will be the third week that they've got Lynch back, that they've got Martin back, they've got Nankervis back, and they actually played fairly well against Port Adelaide last week.
And
I don't think they're going to let themselves get, you know, into deep trouble. I just like to have conversation here. So I'm going with Richmond to win this one by about 7 points. I just think this is going to be an upset. I think there is enough quality. No, this was at the SCG. I'm taking Sydney, no doubt. Okay, I'm taking Sydney, no doubt about it. But I just have this sneaky feeling, and I don't know why, that they're going to come in and Richmond's going to get the job done this weekend, and Adam Uzay is going to get his first win.
Oh, well, I hope you're wrong. I don't like the Tigers, you know that.
No, neither do I. I mean, I have one other AFL polo shirt in my closet, and it's a Swans one that I found on eBay that somebody was selling that lived down in Florida. So I picked it up because it was local. So yeah, I mean, I just have this funny feeling that they're going to put it all together this week and sneak away with one of these wins. Cause I mean, they still have some really quality players on that list.
Yes.
Maybe they're fighting.
Jay Bolton's an absolute star. Oh, yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, Toronto and the other kid that came over from, I'm drawing a blank right now on his name, the other midfielder that came over from GWS last year. I'm having a brain fade right now.
Hopper?
Yeah, Hopper. I just think they match up with them well. And we'll see what happens. Again, like I said, I'm probably going to be wrong, but that's okay. We're just talking here.
Hang on. How did you pronounce that guy that came over the West Best and Ferris last winner last year? How did you say it?
Who was it? Which club?
Yeah, you pronounce it again.
For who are we talking about?
He come from the GWS Giants from the Richmond. He won the Best and Ferris. How did you say his name?
Tim Taranto. It's Taranto, I believe.
you laugh at my accent. Sounded like you said Toronto, like the city here.
No, I know.
Taranto, isn't it? Taranto?
I thought it might be Taranto. Yeah, I know where you're going with that. Yes. It's at the other end of Lake Erie from where I am. Yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah.
It. Toronto. Yeah.
Yep. So, the Easter Monday game. You've got Hawthorne hosting Geelong. I'm hoping that there are more people in the stands than there were for the Port Adelaide Richmond game. I was disappointed. I will say that 30,000 people in the stands for Richmond Port Adelaide at the MCG.
Wow, the Tigers fans are a bit fickle. They know they're not going to go too well, probably.
If Richmond is only going to be isn't Marvel Stadium technically the Blues' home ground?
I think so. Yes, yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Go. So if Richmond's only going to draw 30,000 people, send them to go play their games at their home games at Marvel. Let the Blues come out and play at the big park.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's they're one of the quote unquote big clubs. Let them come up and play at their home games at the big park, and you know, maybe we can do some, you know, relegation like they do in the soccer leagues in Europe that I don't follow at all. But back to the Cats and the Hawks. The Cats are going to be without Paddy Dangerfield for a couple of weeks, it looks like. So, you know, the injury bug has started to hit down with him gone, Cam Guthrie gone now. But they've got a lot of youngsters that they can plug into that midfield who have been performing fairly well. It's a great opportunity for Max Holmes to go ahead and maybe add a few zeros to his next contract, hopefully with the Cats. I'm going with the Cats to win this one by about 4 goals. I think they're a much better side than Hawthorne right now. Hawthorne's looked a little bit lost this year.
That's funny. That's 24 points, and that was my guess. But they're actually favored by 19 and a half. So I'm with you. I'll take the Cats to win by more than 19 and a half. And of course, the big fella, the big full forward, Hawkins, he was outstanding against the Crows. Yeah, 350 games. He was outstanding against the Crows. He just pushed and shoved those young Crows defenders around like rag dolls. Brilliant game by Tommy Hawkins. And he's actually better in his 30s, I reckon, than when he was probably, you know, they say your peak is 28 to 30. He's been outstanding the last few years. So, yeah, good on him. 350, huge achievement, and Cats to win easily. Good rivalry over the years, these two teams.
Shit, if your peak is 28 or 30, man, I can't even tell you how far down I am in the goddamn valley right now then. Good Lord. I can't even see the mountaintop anymore as a result of that. That's, yeah, so.
Well, 26 is when you kind of peak in the AFL. And
yeah,
if you're injury-free, 26 to 30 should be your top years. Maybe 29. You're still going to be pretty good to be going at 30.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a good round. I mean, there's some good games. And, you know, I chose a couple of, you know, one which I guess will be a mild upset and one that would be a huge upset with the way the Swans are playing. But like I said, I don't have a – I'm not a Tiger supporter, so I don't – this is not me making a homer decision. I just have this funny feeling about that. And I've had those a couple times in the last couple of years, and sometimes I ended up being right, and most of the times I've ended up being completely wrong. So, yeah. So we have one other thing we need to take care of before we get out of here today. You know what that is, right?
Yeah, you're going to test me.
I am going to test
me
you.
On the slang.
I am. Yes, I did. I did this this morning. I got to my classroom at about 10 minutes until 6 this morning, and I edited the interview that I did last night. So that's ready to be released. And, I I'm just editing right now. I'm going to take one of the five that I had off of there. I just don't like that one. So I'm going to go ahead and we're only going to have four this week. Okay.
You don't like it? Controversial?
Looking at it, I just did not. I looked at it. And I'll tell you off air. I think it was innocent, but other folks may not think that it was all that innocent. So I didn't want to. I didn't want to. I'm just going to go ahead. I've already been controversial enough, you know, by calling out people who may have been, you know, doing what we were talking about earlier in the day here. So
you're not going too woke on me, are you?
No, I'm not. Trust me, I am not. I am not. I'm nothing if I'm not woke, huh?
Okay, yeah. Good. Your call.
the first one is a mollydooker. What is a mollydooker?
A mollydooker.
MOLLYDOOKER.
I don't know, but molly is a slang term for a certain drug here in North America.
Yes,
that
it is.
Contains
it has nothing to do with that.
MGT or something. I've heard a couple.
It's not the date rape drug that we're talking about. No.
Right. Okay. Molly. No. Molly Digger. Was it?
Dooker. Dooker.
No, don't know. Can't even guess other than that drug relevance.
Says a left-handed person.
Really? And I'm a lefty.
Yeah. A left-handed. Oh, wow. So you're a Molly Dooker.
Yeah, I'm a lefty, yeah.
There you go.
Just as well, I wasn't born many years ago and part of the Catholic Church, I'd be in trouble. They would have made me left, right-handed and kick right foot, wouldn't they?
Well, I am fairly confident that happened to me as a child with regards to my handwriting, because I write and I throw right-handed, but I do absolutely everything else left-handed. I do everything, wow. Everything else left-handed, but I write right-handed, and my handwriting is terrible. My handwriting is absolutely awful.
My girlfriend was telling me that I believe it was her older sister or auntie or something was made to write right-handed.
Uh-huh.
So what's that, 70 years ago? What a load of crap. And I believe it was a Catholic church, but let's not go there.
My mom is a lefty. My dad was not, and I'm pretty sure that it was my dad that moved the crayon or the pencil or whatever back over to my right hand.
Wow.
So, wow. And I don't know that for a fact, but my mom would not have done that because, like I said, she's left-handed. So
some people think I'm the devil, do they? Because I write and kick left-handed. Is that the story years ago?
That could be, yeah. That could
wow.
be.
Wow.
Is your Better favorite
play for the demons then, eh?
Is your favorite number six?
No.
Okay.
Seems I better go play for the demons. Clam Chowder's team, the demons.
There you go. Okay, the next one here, since we're 0-1 now, and I did, while we were talking there, I found a fifth term that I added in. What is a bingle? What's a bingle?
A bingle?
Uh-huh.
How do you spell that?
B-I-N-G-L-E. A bingle.
A bingle?
Uh-huh.
No, never heard of it.
Okay.
Never heard of it.
Says it's a minor collision or crash, usually a car crash.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Now you've said it. I think I may have heard it. Yeah, okay. All right. I'll accept defeat on that one.
Okay. You're going to get this one. Okay. What is a bludger?
A bludger? Uh-huh. Lazy bastard. Lazy bastard. Sucking up government money and using the system. Just a lazy bastard.
See, I told you I wasn't woke, but actually the definition that I had said someone who doesn't work very hard or doesn't work at all. Okay. And we'll go to the fifth one that I just added, so we'll get you two in a row here. What's a poly? P-O-L-L-Y.
A poly?
Uh-huh. What's a poly?
P-O-L-Y?
P-O-L-L-Y. Yep. And it's something that Australia tends to do this quite a bit, you know, where you've got like, you know, Maccas and lollies and lappies and kindy and footy and
a polly. Sounds like a name of a horse.
It could be one part of a horse. It could be a horse's ass. Polly is short for politician.
Oh, yeah, of course, Okay. All right. Yeah, my bad. I need to crack myself in the head for that one. Yes, of course. Polly, okay. Politician. Yep, you're right. Yep, I should have got that one.
Speaking of cracking yourself in the head, then, what is Biffo? B-I-F-F-O.
Yeah, Biffo's have a fight.
There you go. It's a fight or an altercation. Yep. So, yeah. you got two and a half.
Oh, I'm dirty on the Polly, yeah. Politicians, yeah.
I'm giving, like
probably
I said.
Probably because I can't stand them all. I've deprogrammed them from my head.
Well, yeah, it's, yeah.
Especially the clown running this country.
Well, it sounds like that may not be for much longer, from what I hear.
I hope so.
Yeah, I,
anyway.
I won't say this loud, so maybe not too many people will hear me. I hope you're right. the rest of the Canadian listeners have all just tuned out and you know subscribed to the podcast and there we go. Okay.
He's a shocker. He's an absolute shocker.
I'm just gonna say I hope you're right. I'll leave it at that.
Let's move on.
Yeah, before we wrap up there, sir, where can people find what Mick Aussie has going on and what have you got happening, sir?
Well, I'll quickly mention your mate. Well, he's my mate too. I've been on his show definitely twice, I think three times now.
Yeah,
Donnie Hess, I was on his show last night. So he's doing well, and I love the way he's focusing a little bit different to you, which is good. He knows that you do the good interviews, and he's doing some work on the SANFL, which I kind of like. And obviously MickAussie.tv, MYKAussie.tv, and the big one is obviously Sports Grid TV, Sirius XM, channel 159, at about 10:40 Eastern Friday nights with Gabe Renzi, and we do the Aussie Rules football picks and tell stories and have some laughs.
So how warm does it have to get before it's cricket season in Edmonton?
Oh, look, the boys, I ran into one of the fellas just half an hour ago. They're keen as hell to get out there, but they got to... The trouble is, mate, it can snow. It can be beautiful weather. You think you're right to get on the fields, and then a big downpour of snow comes. So early May at the earliest, probably mid-May, they'll start their season. But they're all indoor practicing for months, mate. They love it.
So do they have facilities where they can actually bowl in there, where they get the ball will replicate what they would have normally on the pitch?
Oh yeah, but the one I went to and watched the other week, they didn't have that bigger run up. So
okay,
no, they don't. I think the bigger stadiums indoor would probably cost them too much money, so they're all gathering at a couple of places. Yeah,
that makes sense. I mean, maybe they could set it up to where they could just like start outside, run in through the door into the entrance, and come in that way. You know, gives them incentive to get there quicker. They're going. Fuck! It is still cold. Let me get in. Yeah. There we go.
But the IPL started this week.
Yes, it did. Yeah,
my best mate's boy. One of my best mates in Australia, his lad Travis Head, they left him out in the first game for the Sunrisers.
Uh-huh.
I heard today he made like 65 off 25 balls or something like that.
Okay.
So
yeah, I haven't.
A star.
I watched the highlights from the first game. The Super Kings, Chennai, game the other day. I was watching that this morning at school. Before the school day started, but yeah, I watched all of the games from the Pakistani Super League, which ended last week.
Oh wow!
I mean, it's, you know, that Willow TV. Do you have that Willow TV app?
No, I don't. Oh. I just don't have time, mate. I watch the highlights on YouTube. You know.
Yeah, if you love cricket, it's like $65 US for the year.
Yeah,
and it has. Cricket from it has had every cricket match on the planet. It did not have the world championships that were being held in India. That was only available on some of the different like streaming platforms like DirecTV and those kinds of things. But everything else, so you got the stuff that's being all the friendly matches, you know, the Big Bash League, you know, all the, you know, New Zealand, you know, going to visit Ireland, and you know, India going to visit England, and Australia going to visit Pakistan and playing, like a five-game friendly match, T20 friendly match, or a Test cricket friendly series, and it's I love watching it. I mean, and I know baseball season has started or is starting this week, and I could care less. I looked at the list, the roster, if you will, or the list for the Cleveland baseball team. And again, for those of you that don't know, I was a massive baseball fan for over half a century. I recognized three names on that team. I've only seen two of them actually play in on television. I've not watched one of their games in 5 years now, and I don't miss it. And it's their fault for it. I'm not taking the blame for why I gave up on it. But to me, the league has destroyed itself.
Well, we won't go into it, but you might want to read about Ohtani and his mate on the
Oh.
betting scandal. But anyway, I've got a week's holiday in June when the finals of the T20 World Cup are happening in West Indies, Barbados. So I'm a chance to get there for that last week.
Oh,
The
wow.
girlfriend might want to go, but maybe the boss of Edmonton Cricket TV wants to go, and maybe I'll have to. I mean, I should be able to get media anyway because of the Sports Grid TV, but
Yeah.
maybe I might need your mate that does the American League to give me a little bit of
Yeah,
a
well, yeah,
media
Tom,
pass.
you could Tom Dunmore, you might want to reach out to. Absolutely. He's working on the there are some championship games that are going to be played in New York. They're building a temporary stadium in New York City, or just outside of New York, that's going to seat like 30,000 people. For I think it's for a T20 international championship of some sort that's going to be played in New York this summer, because the Major League Cricket here in the US starts on the 4th of July this year. So their season starts the 4th of July. So I'm sure there must be, after the IPL gets done, there must be one more like national league, like the Pakistani one, the IPL, and that sort of thing before Major League Cricket, because a lot of
You
players.
know, the World Cup's being held. I just said that. The World
Yeah,
Cup's
that's true.
in
Yeah, there you
June.
go. That's exactly what's happening then. There you go. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that again, because it's been a lot of fun watching it and getting more interested in that. And I figured out a lot of the laws of the game, and it's just been a lot of fun. And it's and I,
Yep.
I'm truly enjoying it. And as I mentioned to somebody last night, I'm not exactly going to make a purist happy when I say, that coming from a baseball standpoint, I really do enjoy the T20 format. I know the Test cricket is the preferred, and I watched a little bit of it, but I have not quite acquired that taste yet. But I'm working on it. I'm working on it. So there we have it. Now, before you go, sir. Before you go, I'm going to need you to go to your kitchen and find the nearest cup and pee in it and take it to the local hospital and have it checked and make sure that you're clean before we publish this episode. Okay?
Mate, I've gone a bit off today. When I'm angry, I kind of go a bit wilder. So yeah, maybe if anyone's thinking Mick's a bit crazy today, I've been a bit angry today.
I
But
dropped
I'll
I've
end on this note. You always want me to end on something.
I
I'll
dropped a
end
couple
on this note.
F-bombs today, so I mean I yeah.
Anyway, don't worry about it. That F word, that's used for so many different applications. People here go a bit overboard about how it's such a bad word. Irish and Aussie say it all the time. Anyway, I'll leave on this note. You always ask me motivational sayings. Anyone out in the nightclub or a bar, drink a bottle of beer and hold your finger over the top, put your thumb over the top of it while ever you're drinking. Don't leave your drink at the bar. You don't want someone spiking it with cocaine or whatever else. And then, especially if you're a professional athlete, you might get rubbed out. So be careful of people putting stuff in your drink these days, right?
Okay, so we've now talked about getting rubbed out and pulling out in the same episode here, and it's and I you know I had planned on marking it explicit for other reasons, but I guess we could certainly go that route now too. Congratulations to the
Different, eh?
Duncan family, however, though, and I'm having myself some cranberry vanilla tea right now, so that's how exciting I am.
Nah, tea's good, mate. I love it. I'm gonna have some right now myself. All right, gotta go. Gotta see
All
you later
right.
with the baby.
Okay. Cheers, man. I shall talk to you soon, Mick. Bye bye.
See ya.
All right, Mick. Hey, thanks for hopping on again, man. I hope your weather is warming up for you as well up there in Edmonton. Probably not quite yet, however. I do appreciate you coming on to chat about the round three games. It's going to be a heck of a round. We got some really good matchups. I think we're going to see one of the grand finalists from last year drop to either 0-3 or 0-4, unless there is a draw. So it's a really, really important game, and I'm glad we were able to discuss that one. So, folks, there you go. There's round three. We jump in tomorrow at the GABA. I do hope you let us know where we got it right, where we got it wrong. So please feel free to reach out to Mick Aussie over there at mickaussie.tv or at Mick Aussie on Twitter or X. You can, of course, find me and everything related to my podcast at yankonthefooty.com. I do hope you'll get on the mailing list there. If you enjoy the show, like I said earlier, I hope you'll leave a review. You can leave a voicemail there. If you know somebody who would be a great guest, or maybe you would be a great guest, I would love to talk to you. So please reach out, okay? I've got a couple interviews lined up, at least one next week, hopefully a second one. I'm really looking forward to both of these two unique guests, both of them here in the United States. So I'm very interested in that. So you can reach me again at yankinthefooty.com, my email address, yankinthefooty@gmail.com. Links to all of my socials are on my website. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn as well. And ladies and gentlemen, look out for one another. Check up on your friends and family. Make sure that they're okay. If you need to talk to somebody, please do not hesitate to do that, okay? Please call that number. They're always listed in the show notes of every single episode of this podcast. And I appreciate the kind words and the support from everyone. And as always, may your dribble kick never, ever hit that post. I will catch you later. And this has been episode 319 of A Yank on the Footy. Again, thanks for listening. Please consider sharing the podcast. In fact, you know what? Do share it. That'd be awesome. Send a link out to your friends and family. Put it out on your socials. Tell them how much you enjoy it. Or tell them how crazy this American and the Australian guy that lives in Canada are. And, maybe we'll get some more listenership. And until next time, everybody, cheers and goodbye.